Amen. All right. If you will, take your Bibles, look with us in Psalms chapter number 32. It is an honor to be here today. Thank you for coming and being here with us. And I don't know you. You don't know me. But hopefully we'll get to know each other a little bit, maybe after the services. But we thank the Lord for Brother Shepherd inviting us and letting us come. I thank God for the young man this morning. He's on the Sunday school. I thank him wherever he's at. Am I missing? There he is. He's okay. Thank you for minding the Lord this morning. And then I believe this is just going to go together. Psalm 32, verse number 1. Bible said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned unto the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto thee, unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto them. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for allowing us to be in the house of God today. Thank you for the privilege to come and to worship you. Lord, we thank you, first of all, for saving us by your marvelous grace. Lord, then calling us and putting us into the ministry. We want to tell you thank you for that publicly. Lord, thank you for letting us be able to come up here and be with your people today. Lord, I don't know them. They don't know me. But Lord, you know all things. And Lord, you know the need of every person in here today. And Lord, we're trying to be sensitive to you today and do what you'd have us to do. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd work in hearts and lives and that you would save the lost and revive the saved. I pray, oh God, that you would alone get honor and glory. I pray that we'd decrease and you'd increase. And we'll thank you for all that you do here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want us to look here in Psalms 32. We'll cross-reference with Psalm 51 and other passages of Scripture. Notice the heading underneath this psalm. It says, a psalm of David, maskil. Of course, that word maskil means a psalm of instruction. David is instructing us here really how to get things right with the Lord. He's teaching us, and he's even saying in Psalm 51, the same thing. It is a psalm of penitence. It's where he is repented. He is getting things right with the Lord. Notice how he starts it out. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. And notice this, whose sin is covered. Now, there's either one or two things we can do. We can cover our sins, or we can allow the Lord to cover our sin and to help us. So what have we tried to hide from one another? I think oftentimes there's parents, children try to hide things from their mom and dad. I did it. I don't know about other kids in here this morning, but I know when I was young, I did that. I had things. I was telling a preacher the other day how that probably one of the longest walks I ever made in my life was where we went into a drug store there. My dad's a diabetic, and we went to get his insulin. I was probably 5 or 6 years old, and I wanted me a candy bar. Mama told me we couldn't have a candy bar, so I went ahead and took it upon myself to get the candy bar. And all of a sudden, I got out in the back of the car behind my mama, not thinking that she knew anything about it. That's just how five-year-olds think. And so I got up there and I began to try to open that candy bar, but I couldn't get it open in time because mama turned around and said, what are you doing? And I said, I got this candy bar. She said, you didn't buy that candy bar. How did you get that candy bar? I said, I took it. And so my mom, we just had a little walk probably about from here to the brother back there on the back row back into the place. She said, you carry that candy bar back in there. And she gave me some money, 25 cent, 27 cent. I can't remember how much they were worth back then. She said, you carry this money back in there with that candy bar. She said, you go back in there and you tell them that you stole this candy bar and you're wanting to give this candy bar back to them, and your mama's going to check up on you, because I know the lady that runs the register there, and she will check up on you to make sure that you've done that. And I said, yes, ma'am. As long as walk, but I walked back inside, and I brought that candy bar back in there, and I gave that candy bar. I said, ma'am, I took this candy bar off the shelf, and it wasn't right. I took it out there. My mom told me to bring the candy bar back in, and here's the money. She said, well, son, you can keep the candy bar. I said, no, ma'am. My mom said for you to keep the candy bar, keep the money and everything. Said, I'm just supposed to tell you I'm sorry and tell you that my mom's going to check back up with you in just a little bit, find out if I've told you everything that I'm supposed to tell you. I come back out, got a whooping from mama, got a whooping from daddy. But I tell you, it's one of the best things that ever happened in my life. I tell you what, we ought to realize, listen, that we can't hide things. We may hide them from mama. We may hide them from daddy. You may hide them from spouse. You may hide it from your wife. You may hide it from your husband. What are you presently hiding in your life this morning? What am I presently hiding in my life? What have we tried to hide from God? I tell you, we need to learn to be honest with the Lord. We need to be honest with ourselves, and we need to be honest with others. And so what have you tried to hide from the Lord here this morning? The Lord is working in your life. I think about Genesis chapter number 3, the brother dealt with it this morning, and how that Adam and Eve got up there, and you know the story, how that Eve partook of the fruit, then gave it to Adam, and then they made him some clothes, and they thought, surely this will hide us from God. Every day, man run out to spend time with God, fellowship with God. But that day, man's not running out and fellowshipping with God. Man's hiding from God. God's coming and doing what he's always done, but man's not doing that. And so all of a sudden, he said, where art thou? He did not ask Adam that because he's trying to find out where Adam's at. God knew where Adam's at. God's wanting Adam to see where Adam's at. Amen. And God oftentimes wants you and me to see where we're at. I think about Achan as well. Achan said, I've hid it, and it's in my tent. It's under the ground. I've hid it there. David said, here he said in verse number 5, I acknowledge my sin of thee, and mine iniquity what? Have I not hid? And so every time we sin, we need to understand somebody's affected when we sin. I'm going to tell you, Daddy, Achan not only affected himself, he affected his children, he affected his wife, he affected family, he affected the nation of Israel, he affected everybody. And so listen, when we participate in sin, somebody else is affected. Either they share in the bad that is a result, or are they robbed of the good that goes on. And so when we make ourselves judge or whether God's word's true or not, transgression is always inevitable. Adam, first thing he did was he hid behind the tree when you see it. He hid behind the tree, but second time, Adam's not hiding behind the tree anymore. Now he's hiding behind his wife. Uh-huh. He's saying, Lord, it's the woman that you gave me. Yeah. Lord, it's really your fault. Uh-huh. Isn't that how we get? Yep. We, first of all, blame somebody else for our problem. You know, your and my sins, we can either cover it and we can fake it, or we can confess it and we can forsake it. Amen. And so listen, what sin am I willing to sit in church this morning and lie to God about? Ananias and Sapphira lied to God. You find out what happened to them. So concerning our sin, there's either going to be repentance or there's going to be rebellion. There's either going to be humility or there's going to be hypocrisy. There's either going to be confessing our sin or there's going to be covering our sin. Either way, listen, if I'm going to be right with God, hey man, either way, I'm going to be right with God, or I'm going to pretend that I'm right with God. And so oftentimes people are pretending that they're right with God. Many people think that they can sin against the Word of God and it's not going to affect them. I've been in church all my life. That don't make me saved. I didn't get saved till I was 24 years old. Grew up in a preacher's home. All around the things of God. Knew about the things of God, but didn't get saved till I was 24 years old. I'm ashamed it had to take that long in my life. God dealt with me many times, but I thank God for the day that I did get saved. Amen. But notice here, it's a sobering reality that God's not going to let David. Here we find out in 2 Samuel chapter number 11, where David went out on that rooftop. I won't read all that, but you know it. He saw that woman bathing herself. He looked, he lusted, he sent for her. The Bible said in verse number 4, he took her. And then we find out that he lay with her, committed sin with her. And the Bible said, and when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband's dead, you know, Uriah died, he kept trying to cover his sin and all these things, she mourned for her husband. Verse 27, of chapter number 11, 2 Samuel. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But notice what it says. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. I'm going to tell you, you might be able to sin and get by with it for a while, but I'm going to tell you this. God's not going to let you enjoy it. And you're not going to enjoy it in your life. I think about David. David, notice what he said in verse number 3. I know we're going to all different places, but I got to get it all quickly and pull it all back together. He said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. David should have said something. Say, David should have confessed to the Lord, but he was just staying silent about it. He wouldn't bring it to the Lord and tell the Lord. God already knew about it. God allows a man to come to him, Nathan, and tell him that story about that little ewe lamb. And then and David said, you tell me who that man is, and he'll restore fourfold. And you know what? David was pronouncing judgment on his own self. You find out David did pay fourfold for what he did. And so listen, David, he said, when I kept silence, he said, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. He said, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture's turned into the drought of summer. In that word Selah, it means to pause, it means to reflect, it means to meditate, it means to think on what's being said. David hiding his sin did affect him. It affected him. And can I tell you, when you hide sin in your life and I hide sin in my life, it'll affect us. We won't fellowship with God. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so listen, David's sin caused him distress. It caused distance between him and God. He couldn't fellowship like he once did. He said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. You can't tell me during this time, Brother Shepherd, that David was having a good time going to the house of the Lord. He was going out of it mechanically, methodically, doing it just because, and there was things in David's life he knew wasn't right with the Lord. I wonder how often we come to church and we have the same thing going on in our life. God's wanting to help us. God can meet our need. God can help us this morning. Don't you think God can meet everybody's need in here? If we just become honest with the Lord and just say, Lord, you know, I'm going to quit playing around. I'm going to be serious about this. Lord, there's some things in my life that I know is not right between me and you. And I want to get it right with you. David's sin not only affected him, but it accused him. He said day and night. Day and night. He said in Psalm 51 that, you know, he said, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. David couldn't get away from it. It accused him. It affronted him. David had felt the immense pressure of hiding his sin. He felt the weight of it on his life. His joy and his energy for the Lord is no longer. He's not picking up a harp and singing. He's just as the preacher said a while ago, he said, then will I teach transgressors thy way. And so you'll not be doing any teaching. You'll not be any helping. You'll not be any doing any instruction until you get things right. Then you can teach people. Then you can help people. You can pass along and say, hey, don't do what I did. Don't sit in church and do this. Get it right immediately with God. Amen. Don't put it off. And so listen, but a lot of times we try to keep our sins hidden. And even when it is exposed and we try to hide behind it, often like Adam did, and we say, it's the woman that you gave me. We try to blame our wife, blame our children, blame the preacher, blame the church, blame somebody else, fill in the blank. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, God loves you so much, He wants you to be right, and He's not going to let you get away with hiding your sin and me hiding my sin. He knows that this unresolved and unconfessed sin, amen, won't go away by itself. David couldn't take care of this problem by himself. He needed the mercy of God. He needed God's forgiveness. He needed the Lord's help in his life. Amen. He convicts you and me not to tell us how bad we are. Amen. But he tells us, and David's telling us, he said, I'm just trying to tell you how to be forgiven. Just trying to tell you how to be restored. Yeah. Trying to tell you how you can have victory back in your life and have joy back in. Are y'all listening this morning? I'm telling you, you want victory? Do you want joy in your life? I'm going to tell you what. It's about like the fellow that the preacher said. Preacher said the fellow was there at his house and little kids was playing around. They got hold of some Limburger cheese and he had a mustache. And them little kids rubbed it up underneath his nose while he was asleep on the couch. And said all of a sudden he got up. He said, boy, this living room stinks. Said he went on a little bit further and he went back into the kitchen. He said, the kitchen stinks. Said he went back to the bedroom. He said, the bedroom stinks. Went to the bathroom. Bathroom stinks. Finally went out on the front porch and walked outside and looked at everything. He said, the whole world stinks. Now I tell you, the whole world didn't stink. None of it stunk. The stink was up underneath his nose. Amen. Oftentimes we're trying to blame everybody else for the problem. And if we just look in the mirror, we'd find the solution to a lot of our problems. Amen. I won't ever forget one lady in church. She told me, she said, and her husband, he'd had a problem with one preacher. He'd had a problem with the other preacher. And now I was the third preacher and he had a problem with me. Are you listening to me? He had a problem with three preachers. Can I tell you what? There was one common denominator in all of it. It wasn't the three preachers. Are y'all listening? It wasn't the three preachers. It's the one man. I don't know. I'm old Georgia boy. I'm country boy. I have to take my shoes off, brother. But it don't take much to figure that out. There's one common denominator here. Amen. Can I tell you what? She said, preacher, let me tell you what needs to happen. She said, my husband just needs to get right. She's not trying to tell on her husband. Her husband, she's crying and weeping. She said, help us pray for my husband that he'd get right with God so that things would be better at the house, things would be better with the children, things would be better around the workplace because he owned a workplace. And she said, just pray that he'll get right. I tell you, that's usually what happens. David comes out of this and he said, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And then he can teach transgressors thy ways. And sinners shall be converted unto thee. But not until then. You know, we want the then, but we don't want when. We need to get rights now. Amen. And so listen, I tell you what sin will do to make you dirty. He said, create me a clean heart. I tell you what it'll do, it'll affect your spirit. He said, create me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit with him. It'll affect your spirit. It'll make you sour. Amen. You don't have to eat on dill pickles to be sour. Just get away from God. Get distant from God. Lay your Bible down. Lay down prayer. Allow sin to come in your life. And it'll affect you. It'll affect you. It'll cause you to be distant from those you love, from the things of God. Are you listening? He'll rob you of your joy. He said, restore unto me the joy. He didn't lose his salvation. He lost the joy of his salvation. There's some people, that's what they need. They need their joy back. Do you need your joy back this morning? Amen. I'm going to tell you, somebody may have let circumstances rob them of their joy. May have let some person rob you of your joy. Don't let that happen in your life. Amen. It's like that one lady told General Lee years ago when a tree was out there, an old oak tree had been shot all up and everything. And she said to him, she said, look at the tree. Look what they did to all that tree and all of this. And she was all upset about it. She said, what would you do about it? He said, I'd just cut it down if I was you. It's causing that much of a problem in your life. Just cut it down. Yeah. Amen. I'm telling you, we need to be real serious about this. What he's doing is this. David's telling me and you, he's telling us how to be free from this way of living. Amen. I don't want to live this way anymore. Right. Do you want to live this way in your life anymore? We used to have fun and game we come up, we called hide and seek. Now I don't know how it is up here, but my granny, she had the old room, she'd have the closet and it's full of mothballs. Y'all have mothballs up here? Anybody know about mothballs? I went in there, brother. When I went in there, my eyes started burning. I started, so I don't know how many bags she had in that thing. I had to get out of that hiding place. It wasn't a good hiding place. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. God may allow things to come in your life to get you out of your hiding place. You think, I'm good hiding here. I'm going to tell you, some people hide in church.
Yep.
Some people can hide in the Sunday school class.
Yep.
Some people hide in the choir.
Yep.
Some people hide behind the pulpit.
Yep.
Some people can hide in a lot of places. Are you listening? But I'm telling you, David was carrying this inward misery within his heart. And David was knowing that he was out of fellowship with God. I'm going to tell you, you'll stay stuck in sin when you start dealing with it the wrong way in your life. Listen, when sin is in your life, don't hesitate about it. If you got sin in your life, don't wait for somebody. Somebody's looking at somebody else to come to the altar. Sister, we're watching everybody else. When the preacher's preaching, we're saying, well, what will they think if I go down there to that altar? Well, it doesn't matter what they think. What matters more than anything is you being right with God. That's the most important thing. We're not here to impress one another. We're here to serve the Lord. And we're here to be right with Him. And we're here to get something within us. We can tear out the doors and share it with a lost and dying world.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. Listen, he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, don't harbor it. Don't allow it to stay there. Brother Bryant used to tell me all the time, preacher, keep short accounts with God.
Amen.
Keep short accounts with God. Brother Jesse, keep short accounts with God. He said, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. In Proverbs 28, verse number 13, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. See, Adam and Eve's problem was not they just rebelled, but when they were confronted with their rebellion, they didn't deal with it the right way. They tried to blame one another and blame the serpent and blame everybody else. I tell you, it'll be best in your life, in my life, when we quit blaming everybody else.
Amen.
And we just become honest with God. Amen. And just say, Adam and Eve back there, seeing what they do. They invented the first camo in the Bible. You thought real tree or mossy oak or whoever else that was come out of that. No, they had it a long time before they did. They said, just don't move. They didn't think God could see through all that. God made all that. God knew every bit of it. He saw them. They're trying to hide from him.
Amen.
What did King Saul do? He told Samuel, he said, I know I've done wrong, yet honor me now.
Yep.
He wanted honor. He wanted honor instead of being right with God. Yeah. There's a lot of people just want to be honored. They want their reputation.
Right.
They'd rather have their reputation than being right with God.
Right.
I'd rather want to be right with God.
Amen.
Phooey. I don't know what y'all say. Phooey on reputation.
Right.
Just be right with God.
Amen.
And then David and his sin. David said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. Verse 5, I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And notice what he said. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
Amen.
David realized how God looks at things. You remember when he's coming down there in 1 Samuel? He's coming down there to anoint him to be king. And all of a sudden in where is it at? 1 Samuel chapter number 16, I believe it is. And Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Samuel comes in and he comes in and he said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he'll kill me. Verse 2 goes on down and Samuel did that which was the Lord spake came to Bethlehem. Verse 4. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice even to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. David realized how the Lord looks at people.
Yeah.
Now we look at the outward, and I believe you ought to dress it right outwardly and you ought to do things right outwardly, but God's looking beyond the outward.
Right.
He's looking at the heart. David said, my heart is fixed.
Amen.
My heart is fixed on thee, O God. David said in Psalms 86, in verse number 11, and I know we're going different places. All these verses just coming to my mind as we're going along. He said, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. He said, Lord, help my heart to be like your heart, to be united with you. How do we get right with God? How do we get right with God? Well, he called on God for mercy. He said in Psalm 51, he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. David didn't bypass his sin, didn't overlook his sin.
Right.
He didn't say, okay, I'm going to cover it up. He didn't excuse it. Amen. But what he did, he didn't say, it's not all that bad, God. No, he agreed with God about what was wrong in his life.
Amen.
And he admitted it. And you or I will never get right with God until we get in agreement with what God says about our sin. And you say, Lord, you're right. I've offended you. I've sinned. I've hurt you. Please forgive me for sinning against you. Repentance is you taking God's side against yourself and your sin and agreeing with God's judgment on it as deserving and worthy of what's coming. Then notice he had contrition. You mouthed out your confession of sin. But until there's brokenness of heart, there'll be no getting right with God. He said, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Psalm 34:18, Psalm 51:17. It means having a deep sorrow for something wrong. Amen. You know, what happens is, whenever we want to get right with God, amen, we'll care less about what everybody else thinks, and we'll just care about what God thinks.
Amen.
That'll be the most important. But you know what? Some people just want to be clean outwardly.
Yep.
That's all they want.
Yep.
They just want to be clean where everybody else can see them, and they say, well, look at me. Behold me. Amen. Some just want to look godly, and that's all in their life. Some want to be right outwardly, not inwardly. They continue for a while, but after a while you find them drinking, taking dope, involved in pornography, adultery, other sins. The problem is they never really cared about the inside. They just cared about the outside. Amen. The problem is they didn't want things right inwardly. They pride and bitterness and unforgiveness and malice and envy. And all of those things that come along with that sinful lust in a person's life. Just some people just want to look godly. And that's all. Very, very few really want to be godly.
Amen.
Most people just want to look godly.
Yep.
Some people just want to be clean enough just to point out the faults in other people's life.
Yep.
David is saying here, look at me in verse 7. Psalms 51 verse number 7, not chapter 32. Psalm 51 verse number 7. He said, purge me with hyssop. And I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. David was saying this, purge me, wash me in verse 2. That purging is getting out that, getting it. It's like a virus. So like the virus, getting that virus out, it's not just the outside, but the inside.
Right.
What's David saying here? David is saying this, Lord, I want to be just like the way you found me when I was keeping sheep. Back there on the backside of nowhere when nobody knew me but you.
Yeah.
And I fellowship with you. Lord, I want it to be like that.
Amen.
Once again in my life. Listen, when I'm not sorry for my sin, I'm in disagreement with God. I'm telling you, Brother Buster said it this way, and I wrote it down when I called him and I was talking to him along this subject some months ago. He said, the depth of one's spirituality is measured by their understanding and sensitivity toward their sins. David understood his naughtiness. David understood his nature. David understood his need. And David understood his negligence. He understood that he had been negligent about his sin. He had been negligent in his service of God. He had been negligent in his singing about God. He had been negligent in his sincerity to God. He hadn't been really real before the Lord. David realized that man's spirituality is not revealed by his shouting. Man's spirituality is not revealed by his singing. Man's spirituality is not revealed by his service. But man's spirituality is revealed by his sensitivity about his sin.
That's right.
And what's wrong in his life. See, the Christian life is a matter of pronouns. It's either he or me. Which one do you want to be? Him. Alan Redpath said, before we can ever pray thy kingdom come, we must pray our kingdom go. Amen. And so the right way to deal with it is this. You need to be honest about it. We find out in Psalm 32, Psalm 51, David did not make any excuses. He confessed them to God. He acknowledged his sin. He uncovered his sin. He did no longer hide it. He confessed his sin. And because of all that, the Bible said in verse number 5, he said, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. I wonder what sin are you trying to hide today? What sin have you failed to confess? God's been dealing with you in many circles. Preachers come in, don't even know you from anybody, and a preacher comes in. It doesn't matter. You go to a camp meeting, you go somewhere else, God's going to have a preacher stand up. If he's God-called preacher, God's going to have him stand up, and he's going to put that mirror back in front of your face.
Amen.
He's going to say, what are you going to do about it now? Amen. He's wanting us to come clean with God. It's about like my daddy years ago. I don't know how y'all call it up here, but we'd come to the table, we'd fix and eat, and I'd done something. I'd broken a window. Now, I know that don't happen to y'all up here, but I broke a window. And I tried to blame my brother for it. I know y'all wouldn't ever do that up here. It's amazing God ever saved me, called me to preach with all that kind. But I'll tell you this, we come to the table, and daddy just come in from work and everything, and he's sitting down, and we got everything. Mom's got everything out there. She's got the meat, the potatoes, the homemade biscuits, not the wampum biscuits. I'm talking about the cathead biscuits. I guess that's what y'all make up here. I don't know. But anyhow, got everything spread out there. But it's hard to eat, Brother Farrell, when you know that you're lying and you ain't did right. We sit down at the table. My daddy, it's just two boys. My brother's older than me and me. And we'd sit down at the table and daddy could pick up on it, sister, that I wasn't right. He didn't even know what went on today. He just knew that something wasn't right. It must have been the condemnation, as you were saying, brother, the condemnation on your face.
Right.
And daddy looked at me and he said, Jesse, won't you just spill the beans? Spill the beans. What he's saying is just tell me what's wrong.
That's right.
And Daddy, I busted the window. We was a playing and I threw the ball and I threw it too hard and I threw it out of the way and it busted the window. You know what? We sat there at that table. He says, all right, we'll take care of that. I'm going to tell you what, them potatoes went down a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
That cube steak went down a whole lot easier. Are you listening to me? That biscuit went down a whole lot easier with that tea. Amen.
Right.
I'm telling you, that's what God's wanting you to do this morning.
Right.
He's just wanting you to come down here this hour and spill the beans.
Amen.
Say, Lord, I've laid aside my praying. I've laid aside my Bible reading. Preacher's been preaching. And you've been dealing with me, Lord. And I've been looking around and I've been putting on and faking and making it seem like there ain't nobody. I'm not wrong. Everybody else in here is wrong, but it ain't me, Lord. God's dealing with you. God's dealing with me. And he's saying, listen, I just want you to be right.
Amen.
Not just outwardly, but inwardly.
Amen.
Amen. How David dealt with his sins. Well, he acknowledged his sin. He said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. He didn't cover up his sin anymore. Amen. He said, my iniquity have I not hid. It's simple. He confessed his sin. He said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. And what is the outcome? Wrath, judgment, lightnings, thunders. He said, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is plenteous in mercy.
Amen.
He's ready to forgive.
That's right.
The devil tried to deceive you this morning thinking that God doesn't want to forgive you.
Yep.
And he came down there that day. He already knew what they did. He had those coats made for them. He got it. He had the coat. He showed them there's a right way to approach God. You got to come to God. Now, I know that there's a cost and all the things that's involved, but God could have just left them.
That's right.
But he didn't.
Amen.
Thank God he had compassion. Forgiveness is the blessed result. Scriptures let us know in Psalms 86, verse number 5, and we're through. The Bible said this in Psalms 86, verse number 5. He said, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Verse 15, he said, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and in truth. The Bible said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isaiah 55, 7, the Bible said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And I tell you, he told God about his sin. He did not hold back, but he revealed it all to him. I wonder this morning, are you willing to do that? How right do you want to be with God?
Amen.
Some people just want to keep on going through the motions, faking it, putting on, playing games with God. There is no telling what would happen in Island Ford Baptist Church. I mean, the preachers go, wow, what happened? If people just say, you know what? These little hidden things, these things I've allowed to stay in my life, I don't want them in my life anymore.
Amen.
I'm coming clean with God through and through in my life. And if you're not saved here today, I'm glad that he'll save you.
Amen.
He'll change your life and he'll make a new creature in Christ out of you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here today. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for your word. Thank you for letting us come to the house of God. Holy Spirit, we know if anything's going to be done eternal and lasting, you'll have to do it today. And we pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that people would be honest enough, humble enough, and Lord, sincere enough, Lord, to come before you and recognize and say, Lord, this is what I've done. Lord, they just tell you, be honest with you, and come clean with you. Lord, I pray for revival here at this church. Revival in people's lives. Lord, draw nigh unto the Lord, and he'll draw nigh unto you. Lord, I pray you'd have your will and way today, and we'll thank and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.